And we're back here at EAA Radio, 1210 AM, 100.7 FM, and www.airventure.org/radio. What sort of backgrounds do you get from people coming in and, you know?
It's definitely changed. Just in the last couple of years, we used to get a lot of ex-military controllers that had some experience that would come in. They were really good. I haven't seen that in a long time, not in the center. It's probably a year and a half since we've had any ex-military. They're not coming anymore.
And I imagine that's a different kind of setting when they're doing controlling for the military as opposed to the civilian effort. Are there any problems with translating those jobs, or are they really pretty much...
I can't say as far as success rates, if there are any difference between people that have gone to the CTI school and the military. We like the ex-military controllers because of their experience. Most of them have radar experience, and that's what we need. And so that's kind of dried up, and we have been getting the CTI students that have degrees in air traffic control for the last couple of years. They've come in, and they've put a lot of their own time and energy and money and effort into getting into this career, and so they're very dedicated, and they're very good students. They're very serious about it when they come in the door, so that's been a good thing. Unfortunately, I do, well, I won't say unfortunately, but I think that our... the hiring pool is going to be changing in the next year, so we're getting new hires off the street that have never gone to air traffic control school, so they have no experience, and they have not gotten their degree in it. And frankly, I don't know, we haven't seen them yet in the center. From what I hear, that's going to be the next, you know, wave that's going to come in, and so we're just going to have to see how they do.
The FAA hasn't really done this massive a hiring. There used to be the Academy in Oklahoma City, which I was one of the last classes to go through the screen in 1991, and that's how they used to, I mean, I started out with a class of 285 people graduated. You know, it was very intense, and it was like a weeding out process, for lack of a better way to say, and they don't really have that anymore, and now they're doing that in the facilities to see who can, you know.
As opposed to in that class.
And now there's such an influx of people that it's just, it makes it more difficult for the trainees as well. You know, a lot of downtime because there's not enough hours in the day to train everybody as much as they should be. So it's all different. It's all changing, and that can be great, but you know, it's just a wait and see right now.
There's got to be. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, what about some of the new? I know in the facility in California, the TRACON. I don't know about the centers too much, or how some of the towers are, but the paper strips are disappearing in some areas, and we're getting new touchscreen interactive monitors that allow access that are, you know, uplinked directly to various databases and whatnot. I'm sure that's not the full force of this modernization that they're talking about doing, but those are still some changes. You know, when you do have the experienced controllers that are used to using a certain, you know, type of equipment or type of system, and they're on their way out, and now they're being asked to train people coming in on something they're not even that familiar with, mm-hmm. that's not, you know, the full scope of their past expertise. How is that? Have you seen the impact of that, the changing of the facilities at the same time as the changing of the staff?
You know, just and I've been in the FAA for 17 years, and I guess I've seen a few changes. At our tower, we just got an updated, what would be a DBRIDE, I'm not even sure what, you know, the actual acronym for it is or anything, but I guess in my experience in knowing people that work in the facilities around where I do, including Minneapolis Towers, that I think controllers adapt really quickly and really well to whatever is thrown at them, and I think that, you know, that's not, I don't really look at that as a problem with training. I think that, you know, they'll learn what they need, you know, the experienced controllers learn what they need to learn very quickly, and they'll be able to train.
Right. In our facility, those advances that you're referring to, basically the majority of them are taking big books of paper and putting them on a computer.
Right.
Not a big deal.
Right.
You
it's
know,
not much of a change in
really
the process.
It's really not a change to the way we do our job. We replace strips with basically a computer that has the same information. They have a big list up there. The only difference is now there's a kind of a conflict probe that comes with us, whereas before when I learned, we actually looked at those paper strips and we figured out that conflict in our minds. Now that's put up there. it makes it actually easier. But at the same time, when it's time to progress to the harder parts of training, these kids that come through don't have that background, so that makes the learning the radar portion of our job a little bit more difficult for them, because they haven't learned how to kind of see three-dimensionally and figure that out in their head. The computer's kind of doing it for them. It's the only real challenge that we faced, but it's not really, you know, the job hasn't changed.
Yeah, that's kind of a common problem with automation and in general. I mean, a lot of, just as a pilot, a lot of pilots these days coming in, they're like, I don't need to know how to do dead reckoning and get the GPS.
Right. It's like if you have your cell phone, you don't even know your husband's phone number because it's plugged in.
Everything is pre-set these days.
But when they get to the part where they actually, you know, when they finally get to the part where they plug in front of the scope and start talking to airplanes, that hasn't changed at all. And they still have to have the same skills, and that's the same stuff that we've been teaching. So,
right.
There must be tension between wanting a trainee to complete and needing to be ready to make the, to have the hard conversation at some point in the process. Have you been through that, I'm sure, a few times?
As far as trainees that are struggling?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's very difficult for me.
Yeah.
For some people, it's less difficult. I think they can remove themselves emotionally from it. For me, it's very difficult. Yes. But you do it because we want high quality. You know, I tell them all the time, I don't want you just to check out. I don't want you just to be a controller. I want you to be a good controller, and that's what we're going to do here. And I also tell them that it's my responsibility to make sure that they're ready. I don't want to work around somebody that's not ready. I don't want everyone that's flying around out here to be in the hands of somebody that's not ready. That's the most important part. So, yeah, you just kind of get over that. Where it hurts to have to tell someone it's not going so well. And at the same time, also, you have to tell them that, because a lot of times when they go through this, it's so difficult. It's such a difficult thing to learn how to do. And these people are sharp that come in here. They're not used to failing at anything.
Right.
They've gone through their lives up until now, and they've been really good at everything they've done. So it's hard for them to comprehend.
And quickly.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's hard for them to comprehend something that's actually such a challenge that they might not get through it.
And that can be probably a blow to the personal confidence level, which is kind of a cyclic problem.
Right. Once they figure out that they're having a problem, the first problem is, unless you're very clear with them that they are having a problem, they've never encountered that before, so they don't even recognize it. And that's a real common theme in training. And that's one of the hardest things I've noticed with struggling trainees and the instructors, is that it's hard for both parties to get together and figure that out. But, you know, it's just part of it.
And you find the same thing in the towers?
Yeah, I think that, I guess what I've noticed when people are training, if they're having some kind of issues, you know, a real kick, just, you know, it makes them, I want to say, angry. And that, it puts them in the mind to, you know what, I'm going to fix this, and I'm going to do it the way I'm supposed to. And, you know, everybody needs that once in a while. And I guess that's where, when we were talking before about characteristics of controllers, that's one of them. It's not when you are told, you know, you need to do a lot better, and you're told in a stern, you know, you don't kind of weep and crawl away. You have to get in there and fight.
Right.
And that is usually, I mean, what I've observed in the trainees is that's the turning point then. If they can move on from there, which they do, they're not going to have any more problems.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, because that is a personality characteristic that is necessary to be a controller. I think you mentioned a blow to their confidence could even be more difficult on their training, and that is true. But the fact is, this is a job that even after they're checked out, they're going to be in a situation where it's super busy and there's weather.
Oh, the liability is uncompromisable.
Right, and so, they're going to be, you know, everybody goes down the tubes every once in a while. Everybody loses, and you're watching it. And as a controller, you have to have the personality that when everything's kind of, you're kind of losing the picture, you have to step up to that next level, and you have to make it work, because there is nobody else to help you. There's nobody else to save you from that situation. You're the one that's responsible. So if the trainee can't do that, then they're not going to succeed.
Well, now, where does somebody go? You mentioned the academy in Oklahoma City, of course. That's not the only facility, I guess, that someone can train.
Well, actually, they don't do that program anymore there, but...
Well, and then there's the military background, but if someone listening thinks, well, hey, you know, I'm not quite 31 yet, or or whatever the case may be, that's one of the only careers where you're too old before you're even out of your 20s to get started. But if somebody does want to get involved, what's the route someone goes to become an air traffic controller?
Well, there are the CTI schools across the country. Is it collegiate? training, controller training initiative. They're all over the country. You can call one of those schools and go through their air traffic control training program. The FAA, I believe, is, well, they are hiring off the street right now. I guess you would go to the FAA website and look it up. I really don't know how to do that, but I'm sure that's what you do.
That always sounds a little funny, hiring off the street for controllers.
It is funny.
Well, that was...
Well, and the difference between, and Carrie touched on this before, and it's really important, the difference between in the 80s and early 90s when they were doing some mass hiring and now is they were hiring off the street, and they were advertising in the paper, but there was a screen that everybody went through in Oklahoma City where, you know, 50% or less of the people made it. It wasn't a perfect program, but now there is Oklahoma City still there, but it's not a screen anymore. And they go and they get a little bit of basic knowledge, but pretty much everybody gets through that. And like Carrie said before, the screen actually takes place in the facility, which adds a huge amount of strain to the controller workforce because, well, we're training all the time. Well, like I said, I have two trainees, and, right. You know, it's tough. It's
that
a
takes
really
most
hard.
Of your day.
How long does it take to go through? You know, from the time you think, okay, I found a place to train, and I'm going to start my controller training next week. When can you expect to maybe be
certified?
Certified, and then the hiring process after that probably takes a minute or two, I would imagine.
Well, actually, you're hired, and then the training starts.
Well, you go through the CTA program or whatever college program you go through, get hired by the FAA. They send you to Oklahoma City for a couple months now?
Yeah.
And they just go over some basics, and then they send you to your first facility. Basically, air traffic is all on-the-job training.
And the college part of it takes how long? The collegiate portion?
They're different. I would say about 2 years, usually.
Okay.
For that portion, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's my guess.
2 years of college after the basic college that you go through. Trade school type thing, I guess.
Do you have to have a bachelor's degree, typically, to start?
You did have to have an associate's degree. But I don't know if they waive that. They're waiving a lot of things
right now.
You're listening to Magneto Mel and Dynamic Mike on EAA Radio.